Welcome to the Strang Report podcast. I'm Stephen Strang, and today we're going to talk about what's going on in the Ukraine. This is in the news. Everyone's interested. In fact, my guest today, Zhenya Kasevich, was on a podcast a couple of months ago. It was the second biggest podcast of the year. There's that much interest in what is going on. And today, you're going to hear what has gone on since then, and a lot of it will surprise you. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Zhenya, and I hope I said that right, thank you for taking time to be in my podcast. We are so interested in this. And the last time we did a podcast, we invited our listeners. And when we wrote about it, of course, people online to give. And $5,000 came in. And I know that's just a drop in the bucket, as we say, of what's needed. But you could just tell that what you shared last time really touched people's hearts. So bring us up to date in what's happened the last 2 months.
Well, thank you, Steve, so much for doing this again. I'm really enjoying our conversations and our talks. And first of all, I just want to say a huge thank you for those guys who supported us and our ministry in this relief for Ukraine. And I must say, $5,000 is not a drop in the bucket. It is an amazing amount of money. And every little bit helps. And I'm just thankful for sending that support. That support was going to a few churches in Ukraine as we speak, because I received it a couple of weeks ago. And the need is huge. The need is absolutely overwhelming. And as I was talking to you 2 months ago, oh my gosh, the time is flying. It's crazy.
Well, you know, two months ago, Putin thought he was going to win in just a few hours.
Yeah, and honestly, 2 months ago, I was seriously talking to you through my tears. I did spoke to you with my tears in my eyes. I was trying to hold on as much as I could, because I believe it was day number 8 or day number 9 of the Russian invasion, war against Ukraine. And my folks, my parents were in Kiev back then, at that moment. So nobody knew what's going to happen. That war, everybody thought that Ukrainians are just going to give up like very small army or something like that. But, oh my gosh, to our surprise, today is day 70 of our resistance against Russian armies.
Maybe I should tell my listeners who didn't hear that first podcast that you pastored, you know, really what was a mega church in Kiev called Christian Life Center, and lived in Kiev for a long time. You've since moved to the United States. You're in Naples, Florida now. And so when this happened, you know, we were looking around for who could help us find out what was happening. Of course, we could all watch the news. We do watch the news. But, you know, there's a story about what's happening in the church. I've been to the Ukraine several times. It was a number of years ago. And I remember even then that the Protestant church, the Pentecostal church, you know, there's different ways to call it, was much more vibrant than other parts of Europe. And of course, there's been a revival since then. So there are many churches, many Christians who are really suffering. And while we're concerned about everyone who's suffering, there is an aspect of trying to take care of our own. And someone told me about you and your ministry. Your English is great.
And so thank you, Steve.
You're a good one to be able to help us analyze it, because you analyze it as a Ukrainian, as a longtime pastor. You have a perspective. You have credibility. You know, there are people that take advantage of these kind of disasters, but we've researched you, and I can just say that from everything we know, you have utmost credibility, and you know who to help. You know where to send the money. You know, we're not sending it to some big nameless, faceless ministry that we know have no idea what they're doing. So I just realized that probably in the introduction, I should have said that, but hey, we're just having a conversation. But I wanted to say that you have credibility. So what's happened? Go ahead and tell us what's happened in the last 2 months.
Well, you made a great point saying that nobody was expecting such a resistance from the Ukrainian, and not just from the army, but from the people. You can see people are standing against tanks without any weapons, without, you know, and you get this idea, where does this courage coming from? And you said that, yes, I was a pastor in Ukraine for 20 plus years. And not many people knows that Ukraine is a Bible Belt for Soviet Union countries, meaning there are numbers, actually big numbers of big and influential churches, 500, 1,000, 1,500 people. Many of those churches were established since the fall of Soviet Union in 1991. So when people are saying, we are so, you know, we cannot believe that Ukrainians are fighting, and where all of this courage is coming from, well, I can tell you, this courage is coming from preaching the gospel to those people for the past 30 years. As you mentioned, lots of churches, lots of missionaries came to our country. And by the way, Ukraine was the biggest mission force sending missionaries and pastors to Russia. If you think about some of the most influential churches in Russia today, by the way, some of them are quiet about this war situation. And I understand they are afraid, and they don't know what to do, how to explain. But if you think about that, many of those people came from Ukraine. So I believe, Steve, much of what's happening about resistance and courage and faith of those Ukrainians came from the Bible, came from the messages, came from preaching every Sunday, lots of TV programs, lots of missions came to our country since the beginning of 1990. People like CBN and all of those guys, they came and they would preach the gospel and started those churches. So I'm really sure that what we have seen right now in Ukraine and in the spirit of Ukrainians, that came from the Protestant churches. Yes, I'm pretty sure.
Well, bring us up to date on the last 2 months, because in late March, when we talked, or early March rather, we didn't know what was going to happen. You know, the Russians going to crush the Ukraine right away.
Of course, yeah, everybody saw that. Yes.
Several million people have become refugees. What's happening?
Well, when I spoke to you in the beginning of March, we were actually answering the immediate needs. And what are those immediate needs? Were it's basically evacuating people from the war zones. And I was actually asking people and our friends and the churches around, including yourself and your ministry, please send us help. How can we get those people in places like Poland or Czech or some of those border countries? And I believe since then, 5.5 million people left Ukraine.
Wow.
That's million. 5.5 million people. Because nobody
isn't even that big. You know, there are whole countries that their population's not 5.5 million.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've done some reporting on how Christians in those countries are trying to absorb them into churches and help them in different ways. But you know, we don't get much news on what's actually happening in the Ukraine, but because of technology, we can now get information out.
Yeah.
And you can speak the language, you know people there. And so you said the immediate need was to help people get out away from the war zone.
So, yeah, that was our first part. The first part was hey, what can we do immediately? Because people were under the bombing, under rockets, explosions were happening in some of the biggest cities. And I've been dealing with situations like, hey, we got a car, we are ready to drive to the western border of Ukraine and go to Poland, which is the our neighboring country. But we simply don't have money for gas. So I was raising money through Venmo, through Zelle, just to send people money for gas, to get them out of Kiev, get them out of second biggest city, Kharkiv, Zaporizhia, some of those cities, so they could go to the safety zones when nobody knew what's going to happen, because everybody thought that Russia is going to conquer Ukraine in a matter of weeks. But hey, today is day 70 and we are still fighting, and we are not just fighting, we are pushing them back. So that first immediate need situation, it's not that immediate anymore, because everybody who wanted to leave, they left already. Our pastors in Ukraine, wife and the kids, they are in Germany right now. Lots of stories like that. So our needs right now is to help those churches who stayed in Ukraine, to send them money, to buy food, to buy supplies, to buy some medical equipment. And so far we have been supporting about 30 churches, 30 meaning 3-0, 30 churches. We've been sending them between $1,000 and $2,000. And you've been to Ukraine, you know, $1,000 is a lot of money for Ukrainian people. It can go a long way. So that's what we are doing right now, which is a month, third month of that war. And of course, this work is far from over, because first of all, we need to win the war. And then the phase number three is going to start, which is rebuilding the country, rebuilding the churches, rebuilding the faith of people. And we are here for a long haul, Steve, for a long haul.
So people who are listening to this in early May 2022, and podcast will be listened to for a long time.
Yeah.
What is the need now that people should give to? Because we want to tell them at the end of the podcast how to give through our own nonprofit ministry, which we call by the name 501c3, as you probably mm-hmm. know. And we have pledged to send 100% of what comes in for Ukraine to your ministry to get to people. Is it for food? Is it for gasoline? It's probably too early to do rebuilding. What is the need right now?
Well, when I'm talking to pastors right now who are on the ground in Ukraine, they are asking for one thing, and one thing in particular. They are asking, don't let it die, meaning don't let this news become secondary or thirdly. Because, you know, when the need is immediate, everybody wants to help. And that's what we've seen in March, in the middle of March, in the end of March. Well, right now, it's the third month of the war. So everybody is like, okay, Ukraine is now in the middle of the other news, what's going on around the world. So that's number one. We need to keep talking about this as number one, because it is the biggest war happening in the center of Europe since 1940s, since Second World War. So that's number one. We need to keep talking about this. Number two, immediate needs like buying supplies, buying food. Right now, people are coming back from those countries. So, for example, in Kiev, my mom and dad, they at the first few days in Kiev, they stayed in Kiev. But when the bombardment were happening, we took them out from Kiev and we put them into Lviv. Lviv is a very, very big city in Ukraine, but it is on the western border. And that city was hardly bombed. I mean, there were a few explosions in Lviv, but it was quite like a safety zone. And because Ukrainian army pushed Russian army back to its northern border, right now, many people coming back to Kiev. But guess what? When they are coming back to Kyiv, they lost their jobs. They don't have any money. They don't have any support. They don't have anything for their children, like Pampers or dietary food or anything, stuff like that. That's when the churches on the ground becomes the force. And I believe the more we support those churches on the ground, who, by the way, were doing all of this work in the past 70 days, they never left. They always been there. And we've been sending them financial support mostly. They know what to buy. They know what to get. They said to me, the shops are full. You know, there is lots of food in stores. There are lots of supplies in stores, but they just need money to help those people who are coming back to their cities.
And so in other words, you send the support via Zelle or one of these money transfer things to the churches, and they would help them just like other ministries help the poor in other parts of the world. Because really, people who need basic food and supplies, at least for now, are poor. And we're being able to help people. And that is what you're focused on in your ministry. And once you get the money, how quickly are you able to get it to the people?
In a few hours. So as soon as I get the money, we are working with Chase Bank. And by the way, Chase Bank were really good to us. They wipe out all of those fees for international money transfers, which is, you know, kudos for them, because it does not cost us to send any money through our Dynamo Church in Miami to the churches or nonprofit organizations in Ukraine. Now, Steve, I want to assure you that we are working only with churches or nonprofits, which means we don't send money to business organizations. We only send money to people whom we know personally, or whom we know from the people who know them personally. Like Pastor would tell us, please send us some support for that guy. And that's what we've been doing. And people get, if I get money today, tomorrow morning, it will be on their Ukrainian bank account. Yes.
You know, as we begin to end the podcast and tell people how to give through Christian Life Missions, tell me a couple of stories where people were significantly helped, maybe at a critical point in time with whatever was happening.
Well, I can tell you lots of stories where people were trying to go across the border in the beginning of the war, and we've been helping them with $200-$300 direct deposit, because they could buy supplies or gas for cars to go across to countries like Estonia or Lithuania or Latvia, to go to some of those countries, most of them to Poland. Poland would accept millions of people. The last number I heard, Poland alone as a country accepted more than 2 million people, refugees from Ukraine. And we have lots of stories, bombarding cities like Zaporozhye or the famous Mariupol. You guys would hear about what's going on at the places like Mariupol, which is in our modern world is a second Aleppo in Syria. That city is completely wiped out. So we would help people to get out of those cities to safety zones, to the churches, to pastors. And some of them, by the way, ended up in Canada and United States. Many people would come to Mexico to use this corridor for refugees to come to the United States, which President Biden opened just for the Ukrainian refugees in particular. So a few stories like that. My mom and dad, I'm coming back to the story of my mom and dad, because it's very obviously close to my heart. They were on the way to Lviv, which is on the border with Poland, and my mom had a stroke. It was not a big stroke, it was a minor stroke. She's 72 years old, And she had a stroke. So the doctors, when she came to Lviv, we had some military connections. So they put her into the military hospital straight away. And she was there for 10 days. Praise God, she is okay now. She is much, much better. But the doctor said, no, you cannot travel on the airplane to go to United States. Because my mom and dad, they do have visas to come to United States. And they were on the way to United States, but she got a stroke. So she could not travel. She got stuck in a military hospital. They work on her for 10 days. And now she is back to Kiev because Kiev is not under such a heavy bombarding anymore. And life, as we know it, is back to normal. So she is okay, thankfully, for our prayers and everything. But lots and lots and lots of stories like that. The biggest problem right now, Steve, is of those people whom left the country, only wives with kids. Because husbands are not allowed to leave Ukraine. They have to stay and they have to fight. It's a law. So we are into day number 70. So you can imagine the situation of those wives being in Poland, in Germany, in Romania, in Czechoslovakia, in some of those countries for 2 months or more without their husbands. And situations like that, we are calling them, we pray with them, we sending them financial support. Thank God for those countries because they help those wives and those kids and children. But it is very, very difficult situation right now, especially with the separation of husbands and wives. And stories like that, thousands of stories like that. I know many people in our former church from Kiev. The husband stayed in Kiev or in Ukraine. The wives are in the Western Europe in some of those countries.
Well, I want to invite people to give to ChristianLifeMissions.org. It's a ministry that goes back to 1956. And Christian Life Magazine, which was huge back then, would invite their readers to support missionaries or the poor or different things in the 1950s, long, long, long before the internet, and raise money. And we've told this story in many ways over the years. We continue that tradition with everything we do at Charisma Online with my podcast. And what we do is we pass along 100% of what we raise. It's usually not huge sums, but over the years is added up to well over millions of dollars that would not have come in without the simple invite. So we invite people to go to the website, ChristianLifeMissions.org. It's fairly simple to remember. It's three words pushed together like it's one word. When you get there, you'll see what's going on in the Ukraine. We've actually raised money for a few other ministries that are helping out in Poland and Ukraine and different places. But the money that comes in, especially if it's marked for Zhenya, will go, and really everything that comes in during a certain period will go to your ministry. It's easy to go on there, pay with a credit card or PayPal. You can also mail a check. The address is there. We'll do this online as well. It's what we did before. I have given personally. I will give more. So I'm not asking you to do anything that I won't do, but we've got to be able to respond. You know, God's word tells us that we need to respond, and he also loves a cheerful giver. We believe as we bless others that we are blessed, even if it's just with a wonderful feeling that we're doing the right thing. I'm not one of these people that says, you know, you give a dollar and God will give you back $10. We're not saying anything even close to that, but there's just something good. There's just something right. We are so blessed. Poor people in America are better off than a huge percentage of the world in terms of how we live. Even poor people here have indoor plumbing and air conditioning and plenty to eat and sometimes a flat screen TV. I mean, there are many in the world that are poor. Of course, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about a war zone and it's very difficult. We're all praying that the Ukraine wins. And this is also an opportunity for the churches to really reach out and share the love of Jesus. So again, it's Christian Life Missions, strangerypoint.org, and you can find out everything there. So as we wrap up the podcast, I'd like to give you the last word.
Well, again, I'm so thankful for everything what you guys are doing. And look, we are living in a times when the whole international community, not just Christians and not just churches, the whole international community railing around Ukraine and helping in every way they can. American government, European governments. I believe there was the meeting of international defense ministers in Europe, in Germany. So everybody is trying to do everything possible to get this victory for Ukraine to come closer as soon as possible. And I believe we're going to win this war. And I believe because, you know, the light is always going to win. Ukraine never started this war. The other country started this war. And I believe God is on our side. And as Christians, we need to help those people who are in need. And maybe I can say something which is not very popular. We need to pray for Russian Christians as well. And to pray that God is going to touch them and, you know, turn their hearts towards him in a miraculous way. But I just want to thank you one more time for everything you guys are doing. We will keep fighting with everything what we can. This war, actually, somebody said this is the first war when people can follow it online every day. And that's true. People can follow this war every day online and see what's happening. So we are fighting on our side. You guys are fighting on your side. People on another end, in the front of those cameras or computer screens, they are fighting on their side. But together we will win. And I'm so thankful. And let's pray that God is going to wrap this up in the best possible scenario and without, the loss of tens of thousands of lives. That's what I believe for.
Thank you. So well said. And, you know, everyone that's listening, everyone that reads what I write about it, you can do your part. The obvious thing is to give. But even sharing a podcast like this. The last podcast so far has had over 100,000 downloads. And an average podcast, a small podcast is 5 or 10,000. An average one is maybe 20 or 25,000. So this is significantly bigger. And it's because people shared it. It goes viral in a small way. We don't have a list that we send this out to, you know, to market people to listen to this one pack. No, it touched people's hearts, and it's something you can do to get the word out. There are a lot of people that want to do something. They don't know how. Maybe they don't know what kind of ministries to trust. Yeah. But if you trust Charisma Magazine, or if you trust me because you followed us over the years, you know, take our endorsement. This is a good ministry to support, and that's why we're inviting you to do it. Thank you for tuning into my podcast. Tune in again for another episode of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.